Oh, it's been wonderful. Wonderful meeting, wonderful food, wonderful cooperation. All this, you know, evangelizing, I probably didn't notice stuff like this. But pastoring, you notice the folks who come early, stir hard, cook long, clean violently, and just, it's wonderful, wonderful folks. I really enjoyed the fish today. I had probably more catfish than I should have eaten this morning, and more crawdad last night. That's two dangerous combinations, catfish and crawdad, and then they put you in a Baptist fellowship hall. You're craving water. Just, you know, it's dangerous. Just dangerous combination there. If there was a baptistry in that fellowship hall there, I probably would have looked for it. But it was wonderful, and all of our friends coming in, and different folks getting to see them, and Fairland folks. I wasn't expecting to see the shoe crafts back here tonight, but here they are. Man, they're on their way to Alabama, whole week down there, if they can stay that long, for fellowship meeting, see everybody and talk to everybody. Ain't no telling who all will be down there, but I know somebody that will not. It will not get to be me this time. I'm going to cut a path back north and head back up to a mosquito tonight, bit Brother Shoecraft. Saw it. I saw it coming. I thought I saw it. I saw a black thing on him, and I said either he has just right now in the last 30 seconds developed a mole, or there's something chewing on him. And it was a mosquito, and they're not out yet back up in Missouri. They're not out yet. Some of my church folks ain't even out yet. So it's still cold enough that some folks are in. But I thank you for the offerings and all everything, and just it's just been a great time. It really has. I wish my sweetheart could have been down here. She would have enjoyed the meeting. I tell you, brother. Brother Billy Ray Hudson up here a while ago, or up here earlier today, and the preaching, I'm not just singling him out. Brother Roger Payton, I don't think I have heard anybody preach on silence. You know, I thought of 100 illustrations. Just get 100 people to stand up and not say nothing. I mean, silence. I heard it's just something else. And I really felt like God was trying to get in it when he cut the power. We were singing, and then all of a sudden it just went silent. And, you know, and I've had a couple of things like that happen in my ministry, unique things while I was preaching and speaking about a certain thing, and then right there in the next twinkling of an eye, it happened. And just I always count some of those things as God just being close. But Brother Billy Ray Hudson got up here and got to preaching, and there were times that I was crying about stuff that he wasn't even saying. I was thinking about him and his wife coming out to Calvary back when I first took the church, back when it was still racked with scandal up one side and down the other in the evening news, and Just terrible, terrible misconduct there, and we were struggling. I'm talking about we were struggling. Oh, we were struggling. And Brother Hudson came, and he got to preached it, I think, every night. He preached on the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. And I really thought that he went beyond himself preaching. And there's been a couple of times that I've been sent away to some other church or some other place that I knew was a struggling, and I took a stab at that text. I didn't do it justice like he did. But I watched him go beyond himself. And then yesterday, services was great, wonderful, wonderful. But I mentioned this to some folks. I mentioned it to him tonight. Brother Shoecraft went beyond himself. He told me something that I really knew, but that I'd forgotten when I said this. I even called my wife and told her. I said, you know, Brother Shoecraft, he preached today. And I said, he preached not like him. He didn't he didn't stutter and he didn't, but he preached with the same far-reaching vision that Brother Havis Crawford has preached with. And there's some younger folks in here. I apologize for the fact that you may never get to hear that man. But he was phenomenal. And Brother Shoecraft really, Brother Havis was his favorite. And not that he's picked up any of the traits whatsoever, but his mind. I told my wife, he thinks like him. Yeah, thinks like him. He went beyond himself. These girls up here tonight singing. You know whose song that was, don't you? L.L. Collins. I apologize that some of these younger folks may never get to see that unruly redhead come strolling into whatever church he happens to be in at the time and act like he owns it. Walk up to the platform like it's been built just for him. Picked up that Gibson Hummingbird flat top guitar that always had a strap on it that looked like he picked it up off the interstate that came off a semi. A strap on it. And it was always frayed on the ends. It kind of looked like a shawl of a thing. Not Brother Ben, but a shawl of a thing on each side. He slapped that thing around him. Put him to kill me, wife! I mean, there was just times, and it had to be his wife because I can't play in the key of E. But there was just times that I was in service with him. He called. We were his youth pastors for a while. And there were times when there was so much pressure, so much contention in that church, that he'd walk up there behind that microphone. I'm reading that night from the book of Jeremiah. And it almost had felt like Jeremiah was standing there beside him. He went beyond himself. Yeah. I hate that he's had that stroke and those glory days are behind us unless the Lord does a miraculous thing. I watched him go beyond himself a bunch of different times like that. That is one of the greatest characteristics of independent holiness people, is the ability to go beyond herself. Yeah. I want to read a text to you. It's in the book of Ezra. It's in Ezra chapter number 3. And this is just what's on my mind. I really love the work of God. Appreciate it. Appreciate folks. I'm preaching tonight on going beyond yourself. In case you didn't know it. I mean, I wasn't up here just giving you a play-by-play of some other directory. This was tonight's service right here. I used it this past summer up at Granite City or wherever else they would sit long enough to pay attention to me. About he was a Baptist missionary, in fact, who was teaching a class of a concern over in Australia to a bunch of Baptist students. And it was back in 1962 when all this took place. And this Baptist missionary was so intensely wrapped up in the fact that he had a job to do and a work to do, that he treated his class like it was the world. He poured himself into that class. And being a theologian that he was, he kept a journal. And I don't do that. I don't even write my mileage down in my vehicles like I'm supposed to for income tax purposes. But he kept a journal. Lindsay Savage looks like the kind of... You keep a journal. Do you? Brother Lloyd, Brother Bill Ray, you keep a journal? Them two guys look like journalists. Now, don't they? Don't they? Both of them look like they could work for, you know, Newsweek. Right there, sitting right there. But this guy kept a journal, and I just wanted to talk to you about some things tonight. I'm not going to be up here long because I know you got to move pews there, and there's some guys in here they just can't hardly wait to get a hold of them. I can just see it in your eyes. But this Baptist guy, and I'm reading this out of a Baptist book, got to given us entries into his journal. And in 1962, in the month of September, this was one of his entries in his journal, Baptist Class Australia. Never seen such fervency. Now, I just be honest with you, I went to college some, and I can't remember one day that I had a fervent class. I can't remember it. I can't remember a time that I had a fervency for any of my teachers. I always hoped that they had the flu or something. I can't relate to that right there. But in his class, there was a fervency. Then on October the 8th, he made this entry. Abraham, a young man in my class, sought the Lord by day and night and has been filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking 1962 Baptist here. Hang on. He made another entry on October the 14th. These baptisms, in the Spirit have produced a reverence and a quickening in depth and in sincerity. He made a little footnote. He said the reverence is prominent in these classes. I mean, I'm talking about a guy that went to Australia and went beyond himself. On December the 2nd, he made this entry. Stanley, a young man in the classroom, broke forth in other tongues today during a Bible lesson out of 2 Corinthians. Going beyond yourself. He wrote December the 3rd that Thomas, an older man, told me that he was drawn by the Spirit while walking by the classroom and felt led just to come in and stand in the back. Wasn't even a student, just a passerby. Felt something radiating when he walked by. Yeah. Another guy, he wrote about December the 3rd. He said, Williams has thrown away his cigarettes. He is agitated about temptation, and he asks the classroom for prayer. Don't everybody jump up right now. You'll ruin a perfectly dead message, but I'm going to tell you something. He wrote here again. Now listen. Listen, O ye Pentecostals of the fire sort, out of the book of Acts, where our church was born, coming out of there in a whirlwind type move of God that registered with 3,000 people out on the street that couldn't figure out what was happening, but they got a hold of something that did happen. Listen, back in 1962, when a Baptist missionary said, this visitation has resulted in a liveliness not known before, and all have claimed a new commitment with God. Now listen, if in all honesty, we have reached a point in time that that the charismatics is going to take our thunder and take the blessings of God and run with it, or if some of these other groups, you know, if in honesty that's where we have finally allowed ourselves to get, then so be it. But I'm telling you, it ain't supposed to be that way. It's still supposed to be right here among those that come into the house of God and go beyond themselves. If we came into this church tonight and allowed our flesh to do what our flesh wanted to, we would sit there and yawn and dread about cleaning up everything. If we allowed our flesh to do what our flesh wanted to do, we would have already jumped in our vehicles and been heading north, south, east, and west. But we've gotten up here behind this pulpit, gotten up here behind these musical instruments. We've allowed the Spirit of the Lord to come into this building tonight. Brother Shoecraft is not going down to Alabama for his health. He's going down there to get beyond himself and preach at the March meeting. Brother Hudson has not just come over here to take a few days away from a well-worn vineyard that he's just over here refreshing himself till he can get back over there to Blair, Oklahoma and go beyond himself. And I'm telling you right here and right now, you'll set like you set, live like you live, and have what you've got if you don't come to the house of God with the purpose of going beyond yourself. There'll be people drive up and down that highway that will not feel anything permeating from this house, from this place. Or there can be such a visitation of the presence of God in people that have gone beyond themselves. They'll feel a testimony from this house driving down that street. I tell you, brother, sister, I don't know how many times they pulled in my parking lot and come in and just sit down after service. The strangest things just felt like we had to stop. Just felt like we had to come in. Had never been here before, but we just felt like, I'm telling you, people that go beyond themselves have a supernatural visitation with God. People who don't are those that are privileged to sit in the pew and watch everybody else that does. People who don't are privileged to sit there and holler glory to God and hallelujah and watch somebody else attain things in God that they themselves could have had if it had just been real. Hey, sitting right back there in that wheelchair, took her 6 years to go through college and get her degree. You know how she did that? She went beyond herself. That's how she did it. That's how she did it. You know how she's in the house of God? They're in the house of God. They went beyond themselves. When every move is an effort, whatever. Do you know why little David Brock, that carries such an affliction in his body, do you know why that he's one of the top men on my totem pole? And if you've never got to meet him, you've missed a glorious chance. And if you've never got to hear him preach, you have missed a golden opportunity. And that David Brock will come in, labored in his walk. You'll think every time he comes down off the platform, he's going to fall flat on his face. And I've watched him do it. There at youth camps coming down that aisle, I move a God and the Spirit of the Lord moving. That little boy would come out of them pews and come running down that aisle, and I've watched him fall in the middle of the aisle a bunch of times. Then I've watched some big old boys stand up, walk over there and pick him up and allow him to keep right on running. And then big old boys just follow him right down to the front of the church. I'm telling you, that boy goes beyond himself. He puts an effort into it that requires more effort. When he preaches, it requires more breath. Already had a open heart surgery. I'm telling you, brother, sister, that there are people in our churches, they don't know how good it really is. They don't know how close they really are to having something they've never felt or had in their life. And all it requires is you going beyond yourself. My text in Ezra says, 3:3, and they set the altar upon his basis. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord. Even burnt offerings, morning and evening. Now, I'm not a great historian of the Jewish people. I mean, I have the Word of God, but I don't sit down and memorize commentaries. I don't just walk around and reach the side of my recliner and pick up dictionaries just to read strange words. I don't do that. The people who keep journals do stuff like that. I don't do that. I just don't do it. But I'm telling you something, what I do know about the Jewish people, they are still going beyond themselves. They are still in the face of a world that would like to wipe them off the face of this earth. They are still digging in, and they are still claiming their turf, and they're still in their limited measure following after Jehovah. I know that they have not accepted the Messiah, and I know that there is a time of trouble that they're going to have because of this waywardness. But I'm telling you right now, the world takes notice of that little nation. And the Arabs around them take notice of that little nation. And Russia and China takes notice of that little nation because they go beyond themselves. They become a mightier army than what their number shows. They become a mightier people than what their number shows. And I tell you something about them. Just about every boy, about every man has an assault rifle in his house ready to step out in the alley and go to work for the cause because they're not afraid to go beyond themselves. And I'm telling you, we are raising a wimpy church world who had rather lean back and talk about the Tylenol not working than they are to come out of there with their hands up and allow God to take them beyond themselves. We are content to go and to sit and let the pastor, that's what we pay him for. We're not just paying Brother Tracy around here for his good looks. No. If you are, you need to up his salary. We're not just trying to pay him for his good looks. We are paying him because he's our pastor. And when we quit singing, and when there ain't nothing else to happen, we're supposed to get a little bit of the Word of God. We got that thing so mixed up. I'm telling you, he ain't just a fixture here. And she ain't just a fixture here. That's not what this thing is about. This thing is about preachers and people, deacons and teachers, getting together and going beyond themselves until at the end of the service you can tell that something powerful is in the house. And yet we've got people in our churches that live a powerless life. They have a powerless religion. They have a powerless Bible study. They have a powerless prayer life. They have a powerless devotion. They've never had a revival that they really enjoyed. They never had a revival that was timely, that fit in with their schedule. They always had 3 kids going for soccer, 2 kids going for basketball, and the husband getting a root canal on Monday morning. It's never been convenient. And we've got folks that will come into the house of God and feel like they've done God a favor by just showing up. That's not people that go beyond themselves. We've got young folks in our churches that's got more energy in their one little toe than I've got. I'm telling you, when Brother Doyle House come up on this platform the other night, I took a deep breath and said, I don't believe I could do that. And when he cleared the platform on the other side, I said to myself, I know that I cannot do that. I'd clear the platform, hit that altar, and have to have it surgically removed. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got some energy in this place with some of these young lives that could come out at pew with their hands up, stand this church on its head, stand the service on its head, put some of their enthusiasm into it, go beyond themselves, and be the next L.L. Collins, be another Billy Ray Hudson in the making, be another Brother Tracy Boyd. But you know what the problem is? It's so much easier to let somebody else do it. It's what we pay him for. It's what we pay her for. I really appreciated what I heard about you sisters when Brother and Sister Boyd was away and couldn't get ready for this meeting. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I do. When Neosho was coming by our church and we was going to have to feed them across the road, there was about 16 of them in that particular group. So you multiply 16 by 3. Talking about their appetites now. You multiply 16 by 3. And subtract a couple of girls that are worrying about their weight. You still got a lot of food to put out on the table for 16. And then you had Danny Judd and Bill Ellison and the guys that go to our church. What you really need was to rent the Western Sizzling after service is over and just set them. But my wife had had the surgery, and she said, "You're going to have to call Vern and Kelly until." So I got on the phone and I called the deacon's wives, Sister Sharon and Sister Kelly. And I said, "Listen, Neosho's coming this weekend." Sister Sharon said, "We know it." She said, "Everything's under control." I said, "Yeah, but there's a lot of them." She said, "We got it took care of." And she said, "And we're doing it like Sister Hyde would want it done." And when we got back home, nothing would do my wife but, "Oh, is she going over there to the church?" So I went out the door and I went over to the church, and after service, I never seen so many crock pots and crack pots in one house at the same time in my life. I mean, we eat. When it was all said and done, I think I took two or three things home to the house just to see me through my wife's sickness. I'm telling you, are you getting this? They went beyond themselves. And God honors people that does that. God blesses people that does that. Yes, I've watched him move in a service, find somebody in a pew that very seldom ever, I've watched it happen. But I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, it's that person that's climbed out of there. If they have to climb out on the pew in front of them, they've come out of there with their hands up, coming to the presence of God. That's the young ladies that God puts a mark upon and sees to it that the ministry is an open door for them to walk in, because some young pastor in the making sees that. I'm telling you, when God sees that you're willing to go beyond yourself, he'll take you into places you never dream. I thought being a piano player for a gospel quartet and traveling around on a bus with 4 guys that smoke was absolutely the pinnacle of any young man's life who was making his way through college, playing on the weekends. I thought I had reached the pinnacle. You know, I didn't reach nothing until that night at that meeting. I went down to that altar and threw myself in the presence of God and told him, gave him everything, turned loose of everything, come up from that altar. And the next thing I know, I'm going beyond myself. I'm out of Karnak. I'm out of the house. I'm out of college. Some lame brain by the name of Terry Bolin, who nobody hardly even knew, reached out and put me under his wing. Saw I was so stupid that I had to have some kind of tutoring. And so every mistake that I've made in the last 35 years, I contribute to Brother Terry Bolin. If you don't like my preaching, blame him. If you don't like the way that I do it, blame him. And if you do like it, give me the credit for it. But I'm telling you, he took me beyond myself. There's nights, Brother Shoecraft, I was sitting at the table with a pastor. I'd open my mouth and insert my foot, and he'd kick the leg of the other one. I mean, sometimes I'd go back to my room, and I'd tell him, just a simple, "Don't say that," would be sufficient. But I'm telling you, I went through boot camp trying to go beyond myself. I didn't know what was going to happen the day that I first met L.L. Collins up in Kansas. I didn't know that in the years to come, I'd be living at their house, helping pastor that church. I didn't have any idea about that. But God knew that I was somebody that was willing to go beyond myself. When L.D. Moore called me one day, pastoring a little church down in Texas, my wife's home church, when he called me that day, and he said, I got a word for you. And I said, well, then tell me. And Brother Moore said, would you be willing to be a second? Would you be willing to pack your bags, resign that church in Texas, and be a second? And I said, Brother Moore, at this present state of the game, I'd be willing to do whatever I had to do to be used and blessed to God. It was the next day that L.O. Collins called and said, I don't know if him and Brother Moore got together or if it's just one of those times that God was putting the puzzle together. But Brother Collins said, I want you and Trish to pack your bags and I want you to move to the highway. He said, I want you to take care of the choir, and I want you to take care of the radio, and I want you to take care, I want you to come up to the highway. And I demoted myself from pastor to youth pastor in about 30 seconds right there. But I did it because I wanted to go beyond myself. I didn't want to sit and spin my wheels in some Pentecostal mud hole for 20 years. I want to get a hold of God. And I'm not telling you you have to leave Louisiana. I'm not even telling you that you have to leave the pew where you sat. But I am telling you, you got to be ready to get up when the Spirit of God moves and enter into it and let Him have His way with your life. They came out of captivity. And the Bible says it. And there was a great fear upon them because of the people. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them all in bondage. And not just Israel, but other nations. They all under his thumb. And all the other nations hated Cyrus. They didn't appreciate his overcoming power and his military might. And they all hated him. But they really hated him when Cyrus said, I'm going to let the Jews go back home. He wasn't so open to them other nations. I'm going to let the Jews go back home. So not only when Israel started its march back, not only did they have the obstacles of life in front of them, they had all these other nations around that now resented them to the top of the totem pole. And so you know what they did? They marched right on. Even though they had all this opposition against them, they marched right on, right back into Israel, right up to the altar. And the Bible said the first thing they did was they set it back up on its basis. I don't know how it got knocked over. I don't know how it got relegated to some unneeded piece of furniture. In fact, some churches have removed the altars altogether. But I will tell you something right now. You can't allow anybody. You can't allow a her or a him or a school or a ball team or some kind of habit to keep you from putting the altar back up where it belongs in your life. Well, I'm afraid of what some of the guys at school are going to say. Okay. 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 It's okay. No problem. That's all right. You have my permission to give in. That's okay. That's okay. Because you're among good company. There's been a lot of others that was afraid of the very same thing. And they've limited their godly walk. It's okay. It's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. In this physical body, you heard Brother Hudson talking about it a while ago. In his physical, I know I'm built like a big bag of marshmallows, actually. If you just want the real intent, he said a little bag. I just people all over this world you just want to slap. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't real. I told you last time, I wasn't real athletic. I just really wasn't. It just wasn't my thing to get, I just wasn't very athletic. But there was other guys in my class that was. And I always felt like when I went to band class or when I sat down at the piano and in study hall and play, I always felt like that they were kind of looking down their nasal passages at me. I always felt that way. And then I accepted a call of God to preach, and I started fighting hell with everything that I got. Drove through Karnak one day. Heard the knock out there on the glass door there at Mom's house. I went over to the door and opened it up, and there stood, of all things, man, I hadn't seen him probably in 3 or 4 years at that time, 5 years maybe. There stood the captain of the basketball team that graduated the year that I graduated at high school. There he stood, and he was bigger then than he was when I remembered him. No wonder all the cheerleaders just loved him. I mean, there stood a strapling of a guy standing there, and he had two of the cutest boys standing around there you ever want to see. And I said, well, Ricky, I said, how you doing, man? I ain't seen you since high school. And he said, I know it. He said, but I heard about what you're doing. He said, I've been going to a little Baptist church now. And he said, I've been hearing about what you're doing and how you're living. And what you're trying to do. And I said, yeah, I said, it's pretty tough to get started. I didn't want to tell him what I made my first year evangelizing. But it was weak, very weak. And he stood there and looked at me, and he said, I want you to meet my boys. And I reached over there and shook hands with these two little old boys. I mean, just tow-headed kids. And I'd have given $50 for both of them right there on the spot. If I'd have had it. Shook hands with them. And Ricky said, boys, I went to school with this man. He said, while I was playing ball, running up and down the court, he was learning and doing things that later in life he was going to be able to use in the work of God. And he said, I just want you to meet a man who did not waste his life while he was growing up. And I'm telling you, I felt like that they had just took every trophy out of the school that I went and set it out on my driveway. I just felt so good about that. I didn't cry till he left. I didn't want him to know what a softy I was. But I'm telling you, sometimes you just gotta go beyond yourself. And when you do, the things that you're afraid of and the things that you hold in such high esteem will come back and turn it completely around. And God will turn these things into a blessing in your life. You're not wasting your life living holy. You're not wasting your life following this man. You're not wasting your money building this church. You are investing beyond yourself in the work of God. They went, they set up the altar. And the next thing the Bible says that they did, and I'm going to wind down, they offered sacrifice. Now watch out, this is another topic. Like last night, people will take messages on heaven when they know they don't have to do anything about it right then. But these messages about sacrificing and letting Jesus see you coming, that's a little bit different because it requires a response right now. And there's some folks that always want to wait till tomorrow to do that. But these folks came back in, set the altar up on its basis. They'd been in bondage. They'd been in captivity. They didn't come back with all the wealth that they left. They didn't come back with all the things that they had one time enjoyed as a mighty people offering sacrifice. There had to be purchases. There had to be something bought. There had to be something from others given for there to be a sacrifice laid upon the altar. And I'm telling you, with nothing in their hand, they sacrificed so they could lay something on that altar and please a God that had just brought them out of captivity. And I'm not trying to sound crude or rude, but sometimes we have to beg a hallelujah and we have to beg an amen. We have to beg somebody to raise their hands and worship God. I'm telling you, go beyond yourself. Sacrifice whether you got it or not. Well, I'm just telling you, Brother Hyde, I'm tired. I've been working at this meeting. I fixed so many nachos that I'm going to go to preaching against Mexicans. Okay. 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 I'm telling you. I've scrubbed so many floors and took care of so much stuff that if I don't have to see a mop for another entire year, I'll be happy. Okay. That's all right. I sympathize with you. And I'm telling you, sometimes you gotta come through the door and offer what you don't even have. You gotta offer a hallelujah if you have to look for it. You have to offer a glory be to God if you're in a wheelchair and you can't figure out how it got this way. Brother Leon Belt that was dying up at Granite City, I stayed in contact with him. He lost all ability to motivate. He lost his entire control until he got to a place where to even talk to him, they had to take the phone off the receiver and lay it up against his face. The last time I talked to him before he died, I said, Brother Leon, how are you? You know what he told me? He said, I'm just staying on top of things. Now, are you getting this? In a couple of days, he was dead. But 2 days before he checked out of here, he was still staying on top of things. Why don't you climb out of the pit? Why don't you climb out of your problem? Why don't you climb out and say, I'm going to holler hallelujah in spite of the devil? They came, they set the altar up, they put a sacrifice on it that they didn't have. And then, they came Wednesdays and Sundays to check it. Be careful. If you're not very, very careful, you will miss this little part. They came Wednesdays and Sundays to see to it that everything was going to be all right. Oh, baby, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if the revival was real good and the kids had their homework. They never do. Don't let that keep you home. The Bible said when they did get there and they started sacrifice, they did it morning and evening. They put such a commitment into going beyond themselves when they got home that every day was a great day to be free. Every day was a great day to be out of captivity. Every day was a great day to wake up without an addiction to alcohol. Every day was a great day to wake up and not have adultery pumping through their veins, or fornication living in their heart, or pornography stunting their spiritual growth. It was a great day. Every day was a great day to look out and see the boys and the girls and the family standing around reverently while the parents kept the fire on the altar alive all the time. I'm telling you, brother, sister, there's a commitment to this work of God. You hear me? There's a commitment. When the World War II was at its height and all of Europe was being torn up inside and out, a missionary doctor of a concern from the United States worked with some of the medical companies. There in one of the little towns, he became so entrenched in his heart, in their culture, that when the war ended, he purposed in his heart he was going to go back to that little town in Europe. And went back he did. The buildings was a shambles. Everything was in such disarray. People were living in hovels. It was a terrible, terrible sight. And the man went back to the stately church where he worshiped. And there walked down that, it was torn up, the lights was gone. I mean, it looked like World War II had been successful and that the Germans had won. While that doctor sat inside that room, he heard a stir outside and noticed an older man with a little ox cart reaching down, pulling out a little child that was horribly disfigured. Taking that little child, this man walked into that church, down to the altar, laid that little child upon the altar. They had a little season of prayer. He got up and picked up the child, and he went back down the aisle and went back to his ox cart. being the doctor that he was, he stepped outside to ask about the child and to see if he could be of any assistance. And the man said, to tell you the truth, she lost her mom and dad, her whole family, in a bombing raid. And it's left her terribly disfigured. He said, I just found her, heard her crying, and I picked her up, and I have been doing my best to be her caregiver. And the doctor inquired about their living and their livelihood, and the man said, well, the thing that has sustained us is every day we come down here to this church, and I pick her up, and I carry her in, and I lay her on the altar, and we both tell God we're not mad at him. We both tell God we're not mad at you, because we're so thankful that we are free. So thankful that the war went in the right direction. And he said, every day, I'm telling you, that's commitment. You hear me? When a headache will keep some folks out of the house of God. When a little bit of sinus drainage will keep some people from even singing a special song. You got to be committed to this thing and go beyond yourself. And sometimes you have to preach, Brother Hudson, when you're stapled. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to preach when you're held together by a few metal braids and a big piece of elastic that they've wrapped around your stomach. But I'm telling you, on the other side of that, on the other side of that, is the sunshine of God and the feeling of being set free. And that's a great place to live. And some folks in our churches, they've never got there yet. They still feel like they're tied and bound. And so this is what I'm telling you. Come on now with your hands up and He'll set you free. Listen, listen, I ain't just trying to snatch rabbits out of a hat. No, I didn't use that, it's okay. I didn't just try to snatch rabbits out of a hat. I didn't just come in here. I didn't just cry because I had personal feelings about Brother Collins or about Brother Billy Ray Hudson. No. I come in here tonight because I'm as concerned about this service now as I was Friday night service. Yeah. I mean, when the meeting was fresh and brand new and we was excited that a few folks even had brand new shoes. But here it is, Sunday night now, we've already seen them. Sorry. Maybe you men need to give her another $20 and let her go buy another pair or two. Forget I said that. Forget I saw that. I just said that. I just felt animosity just roll through this church right now, through here. But I'm going to tell you something. This service right here has somebody's name on it. If we're just punching the clock, let's punch out. If we're just holding down this Sunday night service because this is what you got to have in order to have Friday and Saturday, let's just punch out. We got some pews to move. We got some chairs to haul. We got some things to take care of. He's got to get to Alabama, and I need to get up to Missouri. We've all got something else that we can be doing. But I'm telling you, as much as we feel like we've got to do, 30 seconds into His presence, and you'll say, oh, I ain't felt this. That's what going beyond yourself will do. It's getting your mind off of everything that's eating on you and worrying you and troubling you and coming into His presence saying, I'll pay the price. I'll commit to it. I'll keep it burning. I don't have time to tell you about Edward Kimball. One of these days I'm going to tell you about Ed Kimball. Just put that in your mind. Kimball, like the piano that went out of business. Kimball, Edward Kimball. I'm going to tell you about him one of these days. But I'm not going to do that right now. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to look at you and say, you shouldn't allow just me to have all this fun. No. No. Some of you fellas, you shouldn't just allow Brother Tracy Boyd to enjoy that anointing. Or Brother Shoecraft to reach out there and talk like a man from another world. You shouldn't just sit there and allow him to enjoy that without you having some of the drippings of the cup. Brother Billy Ray Hudson walking up on this platform. You shouldn't allow that man to just be a motivational speaker and incite us into a riot to finish this building and then him leave with that great possibility. You shouldn't just allow a few of us. You shouldn't allow a few of us. We need a few more piano pickers. We could use a couple more saxophone players. We could use a few more guitar players. And I'm telling you, you know how you get that? You go beyond yourself. You go beyond yourself. Well, it's easy for you to say you know how to play a saxophone. I don't know one note, not one note on that horn. If you tell me to put the key of C down, I don't know C any more than I know G or E flat or A flat. I don't know a single solitary note. I just committed myself to learning how to play that horn following somebody else's record that I play. You can commit yourself. You can be another horn player. Well, I don't have all those possibilities. Some of us didn't have those possibilities either. But we knew what it felt like to be free. And once you get free, you start getting wrapped up in something else in life. It's not the same old life. The same old captors. The same old darkness. The same old food. When you get set free, you get new friends and you get new buildings and brother, all you gotta do is get beyond yourself. And if there's somebody sitting in this church right now, who would say in their heart, I don't think I can do one single solitary thing, but if getting up and going beyond what I can do will make any effect with God, I'm going to come and let him know that I'm on his side. You would be the beginning of a move of God in your personal life that would probably spread to everybody else around you that saw your commitment when you come out of there. Somebody sitting in this church, some young man sitting in this church with a dream that I'd like to preach a camp meeting someday like Dad. I'd like to preach a youth camp someday. I'd like to preach. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that sitting at Sonic. You're not going to do that running up and down the road with the country music blaring out of your pickup truck. You're going to do it when you lean back and say, I can't do it by myself, but I know that if I go beyond myself, I can do all things through Christ. So I'm asking you, shouldn't we have dancing girls? Shouldn't we have twirls? And shouldn't we have music? And shouldn't we have... Not right now. No. Hold that thought. I'm not even sure that all of them picked up their harp when they came back. I know they hung them up. I'm not even sure all of them picked them up. But I'm sure this one thing. When they started smelling the fires of sacrifice, and God started saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to take care of you. They felt like singing again. Oh, yeah. Father, now here I am on the last night with 1,000 possibilities and just a few human beings sitting in a little church house in the height of being not finished at this moment. So what do we do? What do we do? Wipe the sweat off her forehead and shut the meeting down and say it was another good year. And boy, we had a lot of crowds and had more mobile homes and motor homes than some of the area trailer parks. Or do we on the last Sunday night hear somebody shake loose, stand up, ease out by the person sitting beside them, step to one of the aisles that points in the direction of the front of this church. Walk down to the altar. Set it back up. Offer the sacrifice of praise. And tell God, I'll keep it burning day and night. Just keep your hand upon my life. And Jesus, use me. Use me. Use me as a pastor down here in Sterlington to shake up this. Use me. Use me at Fairland. Use me at Blair. Use me. Use me at Calvary. Oh God, use me up there. Lord, I pray. Use us. Our heads bowed. Nobody's looking around. I got my eyes shut. We're going to have some music in a minute, but right now, I just would love to hear. I would love to hear the dusty pitter-patter of feet that just recognize that they don't have to live in some typical state of bondage for the rest of their life. That God has opened the door and told hell that it's going to have to release its hold upon their life. I'd just love to hear the pitter-patter of some young lady's foot that would step out from a pew without being begged, pulled, or borrowed, and find them coming down to this altar, throwing their hands of sacrifice up to God, telling Him, I'll keep this commitment with You as long as I possibly can. Somebody in this room that's gone through a terrible problem or a terrible time or a terrible illness or sacrifice or a testing, a terrible death, a terrible loss, to come down to this. Sister Casey told me the other night, been 10 years. 10 years since Brother Casey, 10 years. And last night, who was it running laps around these altars? I tell you who it was. It was somebody who refused to stay in bondage. She come on out. She set the altar up. She lit the fire. And she fanned it last night in this place. And I'm telling you, any age group of anybody in this room can take advantage of what I was preaching to you tonight. You just have to go beyond yourself. Brother Collins does it every time he leaves the house. With a battling debilitating stroke, he goes beyond himself. And I'm telling you, you can do that in this service right now. Make a commitment around the front of this church and have such a visitation of God that you hear yourself saying, thank God I'm free.